Good evening. This is the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee meeting. The date is Thursday, August the 24th. The time is about 5:14 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And the Finance Committee will begin now. Meeting will begin now. It's a pleasure to see everyone, and or to hear everyone. And so what we would like to do is to... our secretary is Casey McFall. She's not on the call yet. So what we would like to do is take a roll. So can I get someone to volunteer to take roll? And also, if someone could call one of our other committee members, Teresa Allen, and just remind her that that we have started, I would appreciate
it. I'll call Teresa.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So do we have someone who would volunteer to serve as secretary and to take role until we until our secretary comes on the line? Not everyone at one time. Well, I'll start with the role, and we can get started there. Okay, I will start with the individuals I believe who are on the line. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Lauren Williams here. Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Baruti Diaco.
Here.
Dave Adelson.
Here.
Patty Heffley.
Patty's here.
Thank you. The other individuals are Teresa Allen. Who's right here.
Teresa. Hey,
it's Sandra. And Brian Edwards Tigard. Okay, yes, Betty. And Casey McFall from KPFK, and Ambrose Lane from PFW, and Jane Gatewood from PFW.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Dave. I have to step off the call for a few minutes. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay, we'll be here waiting your return. Sure. Okay. Did everyone get a copy of the agenda that was sent out, which was basically the agenda from the last time, but a little different in terms of minutes? Did you have a chance to look over it? Okay, so for the phone call, I'll go over the agenda items. The first was the roll call and approval of agenda. Second, approval of minutes. Third was... the next meeting, and we have a proposed meeting for next Thursday with executive session. Fourth is review of the finance subcommittee motions. This is just an update from the last meeting. This is the financial impact of the PNB motions, the proposed change in PNB in-person meetings. Five is update of financial impact of motions before the PNB. Again, this is just an update from our last meeting. And the number six is the budget review. So we can look at these and determine which order we should have these in. But on the budget review, we'd like to look at the updated budgets, the national office budget, the archives and affiliates budget, the national programming budget. And then we'll look at any new business and then adjourn. So the time I believe I have is about 2 hours and 30 minutes. For this, and since I'm proposing a meeting for next Thursday, so if we can try to get through most of these items and the others, we can continue for next Thursday. The minutes from the last meeting, I don't believe we have those prepared yet, which was like last week, so I would like to move that to the next meeting. Okay, thank you. And then I'm proposing, because of the number of topics that we're going to talk about in the budget, there are some issues that I believe are related, personnel-related or legal issues, which I believe we need to speak about in executive session. So I am proposing a meeting for next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time with the executive session to discuss some of those issues that are we need to address as part of the budget for 07. So is that a time that's acceptable to the people who are on the line?
This is Sandra from Houston.
Yes.
Next Thursday is the last day of the month, and my work schedule is going to be very, very heavy that day.
Yes.
I will attempt to chime in at 8 o'clock Eastern time. I can't promise that I'll be on time for that meeting, though. I'll do what I can. I mean, if I'm here, I can always do the speakerphone and keep working.
Okay. Baruti? Patty?
Next Thursday is okay with me.
Okay. Lonnie?
Sure.
Okay. Is Greg available? Is he on the call or are you where? Lonnie?
There's a governor's work group at 8 o'clock. Whoever's in it, I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Okay, is that a suitable time for you, Patty?
That's fine.
Okay, great. And Teresa will be on shortly, is that correct? Okay. All right, so then we will propose then, with Sandra's some reservation here, we'll propose the next meeting. Let's see if I can go on, since I have access here, go on and try to schedule that. KPX, XTX. Okay, so the next item is what I'd like to do is review the finance, the subcommittee motions that we had discussed in last week's meeting. Hello? Okay. I think that we have those listed out, I believe. And we also had a new, Lonnie, thank you, had sent out a form, the financial impact statement, and that there is a new, in addition or a change or amendment via the motion in terms of the financial impact statement. And I can read that. It says, in all deliberations and meetings of the Pacifica National Board, consideration and or approval of all motions with a potential financial impact upon the network budget that are submitted to the board for action shall require, and the requirements were the ones who had been previously communicated. And that's a written version of the motion to be submitted to the Secretary of the Board, a written financial impact statement to be submitted to the Secretary of the Board, and that final approval of the motion shall not be finally approved by the board unless and until a financial impact statement be submitted as an attachment to the proposed motion. C, the financial impact statement shall identify the source of the funds for any proposed expenditure. All proposed expenditures and motions by the board shall be reviewed by the CFO, who shall submit a statement as to whether the funds are available or will require budget adjustments to complete. It is the intent of this recommendation that all motions which may have a financial impact upon the network be adequately reviewed and compared to actual resources available. And I see, Lonnie, you had sent out a statement or a form and on Pacifica Foundation letterhead. And just basically with the, you have
Teresa.
On your phone. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Sorry,
here.
Late.
Oh, no, thank you for being here. We're just discussing the financial impact of PNB motions, and we're talking about, did everyone receive a copy of Lina's form, which basically has the date, estimated total cost, attached items and other information, source of funds for exposed for proposed expenditure, budget attached, staffing cost estimated, material cost, and total cost. And then you would have a sign-off by the director, and it was the review by the executive director, and then a sign-off by the board secretary, and the date. So this is the motion that we have, and the attached statement. So this is a motion that we should take to the PNB for final approval.
May I say something?
Sure.
I just got another email, and Lonnie is saying to add XLS. I can't add XLS. I've tried, I've stowed on my head trying to add XLS. Not working. If there's a link or something, you know, why is there a reason why you can't add XLS to it and send it to me so I can open it?
Oh, I said, oh, that line you can't? I can send you what I have.
Okay, does it, I'm trying very hard to open it, and it won't work.
Yeah, I'm in a car, so if you could find it, that would
okay,
be great.
Let me see if I can get it here while I talk to you.
Yeah, I was able to open the file myself. So, I don't know. It does work. And
yeah.
Now I'm going to have to step up the call.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on. I could open it when I was, you know, now I'm in this SPC and ALL, but let's see if I can get it and send it to you.
I can, if you like.
Okay, you want to do that? Yeah, because while I'm talking, it's hard for me to do all this.
Thank
you.
Who is that that just offered to do it?
Dave, who am I sending it to?
Thank you, Dave. To me. Teresa.
Dave, could you also send it to me, Sandra, at
sure,
my work
fine.
Email?
Okay. Well, my email address is dadelson@ucla.edu. Send me a note from the email address you want me to send it to.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So this motion on the financial impact, we should take to the PNB for approval by the PNB, or was this one of the motions that we had submitted earlier?
Can you read to me what we're talking about? I just came back on. I'm terribly
sorry. Okay, we're talking about the financial impact of motions, and last week, it was the initial part of the motion was amended to say, in all deliberations and meetings of the Pacifica National Board, consideration and or approval of all motions with a potential financial impact upon the network budget that are submitted to the board for action shall require. And the requirements had previously been communicated, and that was a written version of the motion to be submitted to the board, secretary of the board, written financial impact statement. I'm just summarizing. And that final approval of the motion shall not be finally approved by the board unless and until a financial impact statement be submitted as an attachment to the proposed motion. The financial impact statement shall identify the source of funds. All proposed expenditures and motions by the board shall be reviewed by the CFO, who shall submit a statement as to whether the funds are available or will require budget adjustments to complete. The intent of the recommendation, and all motions which may have a financial impact upon the network be adequately reviewed and compared to actual resources available.
So
what's
the status of this motion right now? Is it on the floor for discussion?
Well, it's a motion that the Finance Committee had already approved.
Okay.
But the question is, I'm not sure if this was one of the motions that we had submitted to the PNB for approval. Or we were still working on this to submit. Well, I'll look through the motions when I look at the minutes, but if it is...
I would like to discuss it.
Well, I'm sorry. Please.
Is now okay?
Sure. Wait.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a recipe for bringing board action to a complete halt. Anytime somebody doesn't like something, they demand an impact statement. It has to come back, and you know, we end up having to approve things twice. Basically, you approve the first thing, or you consider it, you debate it, and then you have it come back. I thought the original formulation was that we were going to ask that things not be implemented until the board could pass a motion saying we want to do this, and then an impact statement has to be generated, transmitted to the board. It has to identify the line that comes from in the funds, and in the event we don't have the money, we might reconsider. But the way I hear it written now, I think the board's going to basically have to do everything twice, and the construction of that impact statement will be used as a tool to slow down board action anytime a minority doesn't like what's going to happen, what the board majority wants to do. And I also think that as written, the likelihood of it passing the board is low, because I think there'll be a number of people who will have that sentiment.
Okay.
Am I wrong about the process? I mean, is there a way to streamline this so it does what we need it to do, but doesn't have the potential for abuse?
Well, in the financial impact statement that Lonnie had, it was his action to do a statement format. And in the format, it just has the estimated total cost, and that's number one. Number two, attached items and other information. A, source of funds for proposed expenditure. B, budget attached, yes or no. 3, staffing cost estimated. 4, material cost, equipment, etc. And then the total cost.
And then
it has, I guess, the director's name that proposed the motion, and it was reviewed or approved, and then by the executive director and the chief financial officer, and then the board secretary signs also. So that's basically what's on the form that Lonnie has generated. So,
well,
what is your opinion? Did you get a copy of this, Lonnie? Had sent it out last, I guess, last week.
I'll look. It's definitely come. Let me look to open it up. Yeah.
Madam Chair?
Sure, please.
I think today's point, whether or not it could be used to delay a minority, could use it to hold up board action. Well, the way it could work that would alleviate it is that if I were planning to make a motion, some board members, in advance, and therefore, that form is emailable. Just as we email proposed motions back and forth, this form could be used right at a board meeting, email back and forth, so we'd have a emailable. But the second point is that
Lonnie, you keep breaking up, so I'm only catching about two words out of every three.
I'm getting everything. In fact, you're louder than usual, which is good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you on the road, Lonnie?
Yeah, I'm on the road. I'm at about 10 minutes. Well, as to, what could be held up. Well, we're all there. Greg, the ED will be there, the CFO. If there's a motion on the floor at a board meeting, I can look up in the budget. Expenditures are available. So that would not necessarily hold it up. That's fine. It's in the budget or it's not, or sometimes there may be additional info you need. So I think there are most motions that are easy to identify expenditures. We can do it at the board meeting, and I look up the budget. I could sort of say, we all have the budget, so we can look and see. The third point, would not hold up most motions. Now, if a motion were complicated and difficult and expensive and not indeed not in the budget, yes, that would be true. People would have to do research, and we'd have to look for it. Bad idea. Unless people were willing to do that work and it'll cost. This is, I think, what the materials and any staffing cost might be. And if they did that, then there wouldn't be a holdup. People would have that information. Anyway, I think it could be worked out in many instances, because we would have that. We would probably do some parts of that work in advance. And I would look up, probably be look up the budget part of it right away, of course, and give my opinion.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can always try it and see how it works. I assume that if it did, block what people wanted to do, then we could always move to suspend the rules for a bit or change it later if it doesn't work out. I'm just trying to figure out, for example, let's say we want to, say this thing about the personnel committee meeting for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You want that to go ahead, right? Well, we don't know what the costs are. if we were to say, okay, the cost shall not exceed thus amount, and it shall come from thus line, does that satisfy the motion as it is, or does some other process have to happen where it comes back to us again and we have to approve it again?
Well, if the board was willing to set a maximum, let's take that board retreat info. If the maximum were set at 10,000 and available, looking at the budget, it would be a closed manner, I guess. I mean, we would sign off on it with those. It would work. If they set a cruise to the Bahamas, I suppose, I wouldn't know what. So you would maybe have to schedule. Maybe you could pass that motion with a proviso, or to put a cap on it, or with a time limit for it to come back to the board for final approval.
Point of information.
And one other question. Oh, I'm sorry, someone else is speaking.
I do have a question for the retreat. For example, have we ever given a an estimate as to how much that would cost, Lonnie?
Yeah, we know now most of what it would cost, although there's still a couple of questions that committee has not decided.
What is the amount that it would cost, roughly?
All right.
But before we go to that, can we stick on the policy question for a little bit?
Okay, yeah. We'll make a note. Okay.
It's
we'll
a
make
request.
A note on that and
come back to it.
That. Okay, as we go over this one.
So I just want to ask, then what happens, suppose there are some things like that need to come out of multiple budget lines, or also in the way our budget is organized, staff expenses are lumped together in salaries and related, and they're not really under certain kinds of budget lines. So if you need certain staff expenses, how would it work when we're dealing with expenditures that might have, you know, some administrative expenses, some other kinds of expenses associated with it, some development money, some, you know, you have three or four different budget lines. What happens then in terms of the efficiency of the process?
That's a good question. What I have done in other organizations, I have said, I'm going to need to look at it overnight and do some research and be prepared to pick up the question again at the following day at the board meeting. And that way, it was dealt with at that particular meeting, and things can move forward. Staffing, you know, the amount of time that staff takes to do certain projects, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with it, and I could give a pretty good estimate. But if I, you know, I need more time, I just ask for more time, I guess.
I guess my interest in this would be that the form of the motion would be such that when the working up of the financial impact statement is something that, you know, is a little more complex, like, for example, you have to go through and come up with that estimate, that the board can basically say, we're going to limit we'll cap the cost at this amount, and that then the thing goes ahead. The impact statement can be done, and we do not implement unless the monies are available. And if there's a problem, the executives can email the board back and say, there's a problem because the money isn't available for this. And then the board might choose to reconsider. But it's this thing, you know, we meet once a month. So if the thing comes forward and if there's a problem on this budget thing, I just see, and I've had this experience. I see this being used as a tool to stop forward motion, depending on how it's constructed.
Any other comment?
Well, this is Teresa.
I
agree, Dave, but I also have seen instances where we've jumped to conclusions on the board wanting to do various things, and it seems like the money aspect of it is like a total afterthought. That's why I asked for an example.
I agree. I mean, I have no disagreement with the fact that the board should be, that people should be required to let the board know long enough in advance that we can deal with things so you don't get into the situation where you get something sprung on you and because it's politically attractive or it's politically difficult to say no, mm-hmm. it just happens. So I do see the actual value of having a braking mechanism on the process, but at the same time, I don't want this to become something that just gets used constantly, and I think I'm concerned about it in that way. I'd like some more balance between, you know, restricting rash decisions and permitting reasonable decisions to move forward effectively. But maybe we can't do it, man. You guys have debated it and you've passed something, so you know, I'll yield on this. I just wanted to raise these points. I do think we will be having this discussion again at the board level, and if we've done our footwork here to be able to address those concerns efficiently, we'll save time in the board meeting.
Okay, this is Lauren. I'd like to comment. I think that this rule has been used politically in the past, and that I think that if we have a statement or we have a policy in place so that it cannot be selectively used, then this is great. This is what we want. We want, you know, everyone who proposes a motion to go through this process to understand that there is a financial impact and that you need to understand this when you float a motion. That this is just basic responsibility and accountability for each director who proposes motions, because motions can be dilatory. And that if you have a policy in place for each for everyone who proposes a motion versus like selectively throwing that out as a requirement, then this would be consistency, and this would cause the board, to grow and to start to put in place policies that we can implement and that we can actually create a policy book on, you know, how do you actually conduct, on governance of the board itself and consistency. So I think this is good, and that as far as how it works, you know, we can do this and see if it's not working as smoothly as we would like it to move and like it to be, then we can always, as Lonnie said, to make some changes to make it flow more smoothly. But definitely we need a policy in place that's consistent for across all directors and all motions, and I think that this is what it's trying to get at. But okay, so the other was the proposed change in P&B in-person meetings, and I know there was an update at the last meeting on that also, and I think I put it in the notes along with the agenda. And that was, I can read it here, and the change, again, this is the proposed change in P&B meetings, P&B in-person meetings, and I think just the justification for this was both in terms of productivity for the national staff and for all station personnel, and also it would be cost effective, and also that we could it would be effective in conducting the business of the foundation. And the proposed change in the wording, I can read that now. It says the annual meeting of the board of directors shall take place in late January each year, or at such other time and place as agreed to by a majority vote of the board of directors. The board shall also meet in person no less than two other times each year. In-person board meetings shall alternate among the five foundation radio station signal areas, ensuring that each signal area has the opportunity to host at least once each 24 months, and that no station hosts more than once in any 12-month period, unless all other stations have also hosted in the same period. Discussion?
Didn't we do that at the last committee meeting?
It was, yes, I was reading it over that this was the change in the last meeting.
Well, but actually what I recall happening last meeting, that was Dave's version, which was very close to the language I floated, and the board considered both and chose the version you did not read. Not the board, excuse me, the committee.
Oh, really? Well, this is, Teresa had done notes. These are just her notes, and this was the one. This was the one that, from the notes. These are just notes. This isn't the minutes. Mm-hmm. This was the one from the notes that was passed without objection. So you believe it was the other one?
Yeah, clearly I got on after the notes were passed without objection.
Yes, let me look at my notes.
Yeah, that's what I have. Because the initial one was the one that was from the that I had actually sent out as part of the agenda last week.
Right.
The annual meeting of the board of directors shall take place in late January each year at such other time and place as agreed to by a majority vote of the board of directors. The board shall also meet in person no less than two other times each year. In-person board meetings shall rotate through the five foundation radio station areas so that each station area hosts at least one meeting every 2 years.
Yeah, and, I mean, as I said in the last meeting, I don't think it's a big deal one way or the other, but I recall the committee considering both because I actually asked that Dave's wording be considered.
I don't
believe
Dave was at the last meeting.
I asked that his wording be considered.
Oh,
Brian, I must apologize. LaVarne had not received the minutes from...
the minutes haven't. Well, it's just the minutes haven't been prepared yet. So
I see.
Yes.
These are just notes.
I just sent her my, what I had given, and that's my... I mean, I told her these are just my notes, and I was supposed to be just providing backup. So... I don't know why your motion is not in there because we passed Brian.
Okay, all right. That's the one that was initially sent out on the agenda and part of the agenda, the attachments to the agenda from last week. The one that I read second. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So
that's
this
the one that was passed.
Okay. So this is the. So, but again, this basically is a change in the bylaws also. So we need to determine what we need to do. What is the next step? Do we have any information? Anyone like to offer ideas?
Hang on just a second. I'll get it.
Poor Dave. Poor Dave. Nobody likes to think of dealing with these bylaws.
Okay. Amendments may be proposed by six directors. So six directors would have to put this forth. Voting and approval, unless the board by two-thirds vote decides otherwise, there should be a maximum of one ballot per 12-month period related to amendment of the foundation's bylaws. So we're in the process of doing another one at the moment, so we would have to hold a vote and by two-thirds decide to have another one within a 12-month period. Properly proposed amendments shall be held until the date, which is 60 days before the earliest of the voting dates of the board and the delegates, et cetera, et cetera. On the notice date, the proposed amendment shall be posted on the foundation's website, and the radio station shall broadcast an announcement twice a day for a period of 60 days regarding the existence of the proposed amendment on the foundation's website for review and the upcoming vote by the board and delegates regarding the amendment. The results of said voting on the proposed amendment shall be reported within 50 days, .. And if I recall correctly, the LSBs will also have to vote. It goes on and on, and I'm not going to bother you.
Okay. Dave, is your take that when it says no more than one ballot in 12 months, when I had read that, my superficial impression was that meant no more than one revision that has to go out in a postal ballot to the membership. You take that to mean no more than one change in 12 months without a two-thirds vote.
Yeah, much later in the section, it talks about things that are going to be necessary if... So it says in Section 3, that's 1 and 2. Then it says in Section 3, members shall vote on any proposed amendment if the amendment would do any of the following. So to me, since that comes after, this ballot refers to all of it. And I think one of the intents when it was made was so that you couldn't just fly through and keep making. Basically, if you got a board majority, although it may take two-thirds, but basically I think the idea was we don't want the board making lots and lots and lots of changes.
Gotcha.
You know, as they go along. They wanted to make it really a considered effort to change anything.
Well, everyone on this committee seemed pretty bought onto it. Could we put it on the agenda for the board to take a two-thirds vote on adding this to their list of amendments?
I guess there's two motions that would need to come. One is the proposal of the amendment from six directors, and I'm sure we could get that. And then two, we'd need a vote by two-thirds to allow another ballot within a one-year period. And then there may be other bylaws amendments that people have in mind that may end up on that ballot.
You know, I just have a concern, this is Lauren, about the one that is currently being floated in terms of, we're talking about, you know, cost of motions, and definitely we should do a cost of this proposed bylaws change. And I think that needs to be included even before we move forward on this. And that I thought that some of that was also proposed because of CPP funding and, you know, and an absolute, we've got a dire need at the time, but that is no longer a decision, or that's no longer, pressing upon the foundation at this time. So, just my view for it is that, you know, I just think that it's, I'm not really sure if this motion or if this bylaws change is necessary. And
Laverne, are you referring to the one on meeting frequency or another one?
No. We're talking about the one that's been floated now. That's why we're saying the meeting frequency would have to be delayed.
I don't know what that is because I'm not privy to national board meetings. Could you summarize for us?
Oh, I thought I sent out every time after the board meetings, I always send out the fact that everything is up on the internet in KPFTX and that the board.
I do get a lot through that email account, but I only read stuff for committees I participate in.
Okay. Well, the bylaws change. Dave can correct me if it's not correct. But just in summary, is to increase the number of board members from the current number of how many do we have?
Actually, it's to increase the ability of the board to. Right now, we can have up to one at large member, and it's to allow the board to elect up to two at large members. And it came up in the context of concerns about our ability to meet CPB diversity requirements if the LSBs would not adjust their delegations so that we had a diverse board, an adequately diverse board.
Got it. I remember discussing
but,
that.
But then there was also a whole bunch of other ideas about the ability to bring people on, and because of the history, many people are threatened by the idea that their elected reps could add an extra person.
Right, exactly. And, I don't know if people are threatened by it, but I think
people are
concerned that in the past and how the ability of the national board to add board members that are not directly elected by the members and are by staff, and adding these individuals to the board and what signal area they would come from, and you know if this would be a popularity contest in terms of the board, the board majority, offering up a favorite candidate. So just that, in terms of not being elected by the members of the foundation, and that our past experience in 1999, where that group there decided to appoint board members who were like a number from the same area, same signal area, or outside the signal area, that there are just a lot of concerns about this adding members just without them being elected by adding directors without them being elected by the members. So that's what's going on. And so what exactly is the status of that bylaws change now? Do you have that, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's been posted, but I'm not clear why we're dealing with it here now. The status of it is it's been posted, the announcements have come, and I believe it's about ready for it to be voted on. In fact, I'm not sure, but I believe, I can check, hang on. I think it may be before us at our upcoming board meeting, which is tomorrow night. I will look.
Okay. So the question was from Brian. It's like, exactly what is this? So that's what it is, Brian. But
it's on the agenda it was on the notice of meeting for tomorrow.
Okay. I think I heard someone else. Okay, so this you're saying that we would have to, is that like one fiscal year or calendar year said 12 months?
12 months.
12 months, okay.
This may or may not have any effect on what we're discussing, but we also need to, at some point, discuss the issue of the affiliate directors being seated. And if we meet in January, we do not have the information to select the affiliates director until the PNB directors are selected in very early January. And then it's a rush for everybody to buy tickets to attend the meeting, which is at the end of January. So when we don't have those directors until that time, we cannot select the affiliates directors until that time. So I don't know how this is going to impact if we try to get the affiliates directors seated at that first meeting.
We can discuss this at the PNB meeting tomorrow. I think that would go with that. But thank you for bringing that up. So with this motion, then we're in the position where we can forge ahead and get the six directors to support this, propose this, and I think that it would be really a good idea to do this financial impact on this, which should be positive, and we can move ahead with this. So does someone want to take the lead on this? Not everyone at one time. Okay, I will. This is Lavarne, and I'll get Brian, if you don't mind, to help me. Do you mind?
What do you need me to help you do exactly?
Well, we just need to contact the board members who will support this, and
I will be happy to talk to every board member who gets along with me.
All we need is an email to the board with the text of the motion, asking whether six members would like to put this forward. And if so, when they put it forward, they should request also a motion from the board to allow an additional ballot in this 12-month period.
Okay. So, is Brian? Can you do that, or Dave? Do you want to do that? Or
I have my hands so full.
Well,
I
me
can't.
Too.
Brian,
go ahead.
I think I could do it if Brian will send me the text of the motion again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have my email?
Why don't you give it to me again, just in case?
I really don't want to give it on the stream.
Oh.
But I can
send
it to you.
Send him an email.
I have
your
email. I'll send
Brian,
you an email.
You have it.
I'll send you that, and you can send it back. And tell me again, Dave, what you want done.
An email to the board indicating an interest that the Finance Committee considered a resolution. You might send both forms, but that's my own view. Asking whether other directors would join you in proposing it, and note that you will also request a motion or make a motion consistent with the bylaws to allow a second ballot for bylaws amendments in the same 12-month period.
Okay, and so up front, I will definitely support this. And I will work with Lonnie in terms of showing the savings that we're going to get with out of this bylaws change. Lonnie, can you help me with that? Is Lonnie off? Or Lonnie still driving? I'll get with Lonnie.
Shouldn't be a problem.
I'm sorry?
This is Greg. It shouldn't be a problem. We've already got a pretty clear picture of that.
Oh, hi, Greg. Good to hear you on the line.
Okay. I can hear all the time.
I'll work with Greg and Lonnie.
Sure.
Okay, so Teresa will take that. We're working with Brian in terms of contacting the board members. I will definitely support it, and I will work with Greg and Lonnie on the cost savings for this bylaws change.
I'm here, LeVar, and we'll work together.
Okay, great.
Great.
Sounds good. Okay, are there any other questions, comments on this? Okay, very good. The other was just a quick update on the financial impact of motions before the PNB, and if we can just go through this real quickly so we can get to the budgets, because I know I definitely want to get there quickly. And did we have any update on the investigation of racism committee?
Madam Chair, well, I did contact AC, the chair of the committee, and asked if he had any thoughts from himself or other members of the committee as to what kind of budget or revenue they might need. He said that they're planning to meet, I think, the 6th of September, and see what preliminary ideas people have around what the activities of it might be. So he's going to try to get a poll going before September 6th, but at this point, no concrete numbers or plan that I'm aware of about how that committee will actually operate.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other comments? Okay, the next is the personnel retreat at next month's meeting in Berkeley.
Yeah, I can speak to part of that, and then I think Lonnie also has something to add to that. The part that I can speak to is the facilitation costs. We're in the midst of interviewing a couple of different possible facilitators. We were a bit shocked about the first bid we got proposal. It would be if we actually had this group meeting with staff for 2 days, 8 hours a day, and working in advance on management assessment for 6 hours and filing a report. Would be over $9,000. Evelyn Bethune is the chair of the committee, and I agree, and Lonnie, of course, agrees that this is too much money. It's possible to negotiate it down, but it means fewer hours, probably. There would be additional costs on top of that, which would have to do with lodging for what I would estimate 14 people for an additional day in Berkeley. That is to say, most people, staff members, the board meeting would have to be in Berkeley by Thursday in any case, or actually by Wednesday night, or an administrative staff meeting on Thursday, so it means...
Just a second, Greg. Can somebody... Can everyone else mute?
Reading there. Yeah. One additional day of lodging for approximately 7 members of the administrative staff, that is general managers and program directors, and then members of the personnel committee who would also be arriving early to be lodged in Berkeley. I can't estimate, I think Lonnie can do better than I in estimating what the cost of lodging and ancillary expenses for approximately 14 people for a day would be. The big cost is the cost of facilitation, and Evelyn and I feel that spending more than about $5,000 on this is not a good idea. She's actually willing to facilitate with help the workshop herself, which would be obviously a considerable expense, considerable saving, excuse me. So right now the only bid we have is from Kathy Neal and Associates, and that bid is quite high, and it's over $9,000 for approximately 24 hours of services by 2 people at $400 an hour, a blended rate of $400 an hour.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Have you tried checking into something like United Way, or like in Houston, we are a member of TALA? So, and a lot of times those organizations that we're members of offer those services at dramatically reduced rates for their
members.
That
has not been tried, and that's because it's a committee process. The committee appointed Evelyn and Rosalinda in association with Phil Osegueda from our office to come up with the list of facilitators that they thought should be approached, and those were the people who were contacted. And Kathy Neal was one, Jane Ariel, who has done some work for KPFA in the past, who has not yet met with the committee, was another. Omawali Satterwhite was a third, but his firm was not available. And as far as I know, those were the only three consulting groups that the office was told to contact. So I think it's a good suggestion, but it's now become a committee process, and so Evelyn and the committee would have to be involved in that decision rather than myself. It's not a process which I or the national office are, in fact, leading.
Well, would you want me to send an email to Evelyn and have her check to see if either Pacifica Foundation or KPFA is a member of some community organization that would
I'd be happy to have you do it, and I'd be happy to talk to her. I'm just trying to explain to you why that hasn't happened so far.
No problem.
And
I'll
just found out about this about 3 days ago. We met with Kathy Neal on Monday night, I think it was, and I talked to her on the telephone on Tuesday, and it was only on Tuesday that I actually found out what the actual costs were going to be.
Okay. I'll just propose that she call you about that, just to explore that. Okay.
But you should also talk to her about her willingness to do it, because I think she potentially could, and she has expressed an interest.
Okay.
So right now it's rather expensive. It probably would cost anywhere from $11,000 to $12,000 to do this. I would suspect that, depending on what Lonnie says, would be the cost of lodging for all those people for the extra day.
This is LaVarne. Just a quick question. I understand the committee thing, but what about the people we used in New York, the Institute for Survival and Beyond?
And Beyond.
Don't they do all types of seminars related to personnel also?
These are all great suggestions. This is a governance issue at this point. I'd be happy to do any research people would like based on recommendations that are given to me by the committee.
Okay, because I would think that since we do have a relationship with them, and I certainly thought they did an excellent job, that maybe there could be some quiet negotiation on price with them.
Possibly, but I don't think you're going to get away extremely cheap, because we are talking about 2 days, 16 hours, and pre-planning. And even if the rate was, $300 an hour for two people,
mm-hmm.
plus the transportation costs of bringing people from the other end of the country, you are talking about a significant amount of money. It might not be $9,000, but it's not going to be just... Remember, it was $3,000 for those people to come in and work with you for... What was it, 5 hours?
Yep.
Okay. But, I think they have individuals all over the country. I don't think, I don't know for sure, but I would think that they would have people in L.A. and San Francisco.
No, they have a group in the Bay Area.
Yes,
yeah.
But I'm just suggesting to you that it may not be as inexpensive as you may think.
What the real cost would be. I'm just saying that since we did have the experience with them, and I thought that they certainly enlightened in terms of some of the issues that we had, that, at this point they might think of us as sort of like a laboratory. And
uh-huh. Are they specialists in management and organizational development? I wasn't aware of that.
I'm sorry?
Are they specialists in management and organizational development?
I would think so. I would think the whole range.
Well, I think that's fine, but I think that the best way to get this moving is to work through through Evelyn and maybe in association with Rosalinda, since they were the people who took the first step. I'd be happy to make the contacts, but I hesitate to do it without their consent.
Okay, well, I can just send Evelyn a note also, but however. Okay, all right, so do we want to move forward? to the next one, or are there other comments?
May I ask a question?
Sure, please.
I'm groping to try to remember the name of the organization in the Bay Area. There was an organization that we were a member of. Do you remember it off the top of your head?
It's are you thinking similar. Of Compass Point Nonprofit Services?
Choice Point?
Compass Point.
Not Choice Point.
No, Choice Point.
They count our votes.
What's it called?
No, they don't, Brian.
You're
Compass
thinking
Point,
of...
Oh, is that Choice Point?
An organization that handles, like, nonprofits.
No, they don't count our votes.
Oh, right.
That's
what is the name of the group? I remember hearing of it before.
Compass Point is kind
Compass
of like
Point,
the,
yeah.
the gold standard nonprofit right. consultant group in the Bay Area and
yeah.
training group.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I'm not trying to slow down anything. I just don't want to usurp the responsibility of this committee, which has kind of had a proprietary interest in guiding this.
And I think it's wonderful. Are there other comments? Shall we move forward? Okay. The other item that we talked about was the PNB Director's Consultation and Access to Foundation Attorneys. Is this something we want to talk about now? Do we want to move this to executive session, or do you have any update on this, Lonnie or Greg?
I don't know, but I believe it's probably executive session for a couple of reasons. Because it, well, anyway, I won't say much more than that, but you know, other folks might feel different. Perfectly happy to talk about it.
This is Dave.
Sure, Dave.
There are parts of it that can be done in open session, and so should. When we talk about the way particular expenditures have gone on particular legal issues, that obviously can't be done in public session. But the issue to remind is just that with a motion that allows any three directors to query the council, foundation council, we have the potential that in cases where numbers of board members differ on issues, you could start generating a large number of inquiries and have a lot of money spent. And I was advocating something that would cap the expense of the total number of inquiries and cap the total number of inquiries that any one board member could be involved in. And I still think it's a good idea. However, to date, since this started, we haven't had very many inquiries. In fact, I think there was only one by our LSB about what things can and can't be said in public regarding personnel issues. And so maybe given the urgency of the budget, we don't need to deal with it at this moment, because right now there's not a lot of activity on that front. But I think at some point we really do need to come back and deal with it.
Okay, so you're saying in terms of priority right now, we can move it down?
We've got this budget thing to do. And
yeah.
I'm concerned that we haven't really talked much. I don't know how much you did last time about the national office budget, and that's the one budget that the Finance Committee really needs to look at that in the archives, because no LSB is looking at that.
That's all below. That's where I'm trying to move to. So we'll talk about this as part of national office in terms of anything that we can discuss that's not related to personnel. I need to go in executive session. Any other comments on that? Okay, the next one was the affiliate says, well, this is kind of it too. Affiliate says a separate business unit. And from the last meeting, Teresa helped me here. The note that I had was that Lonnie had said he preferred that affiliates remain a national office budget with collections handled by or within archives office. Is this something that we want to discuss now, or do we want to discuss this in executive session? Because if we were talking about the operation of it and personnel, we can discuss this in an executive session. So what are the thoughts?
I think we should do it in public session.
Okay, well, let's
unless
do it.
We run into a personnel matter.
Okay. Is there any other is there any other discussion on it, or in the budget, is this the way it's going to still remain within the national office budget?
Should I speak to that, Madam Chair?
Please, Lonnie.
Let me just say one thing before we start. I was not aware until speaking with you earlier today that archives is not a separate unit. So many times people refer to the five stations and the archives. I was not aware that affiliate could be a part of National Office, just like Archives is a part of National Office. So that was a revelation to me.